Morning, and welcome to our first attempt at live streaming at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church. The Lord be with you. And this is the day the Lord has made, so let us rejoice and be glad in it. We're going to try to live stream the entire service, and we're going to be recording it as well. So in the worst case scenario, if things don't go well this morning, there'll be a recording of it on our website. But by the grace of God, things will go well, and you will be able to enjoy the service wherever you are. So we're going to begin right away, get started with our first song, and then proceed with the rest of the service. So we are able to enter the calm of God's presence this morning in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. He says, I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. In the darkness of the world around us and amid our own blindness to his will and way, God then calls us to confess our sins, which we will do together. Let us pray. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. And now we'll pause for a few moments of personal confession. And we continue to pray, God of God and light of light, I confess that by nature I am sinful and unclean, born in darkness. I am often blind to your word and to your work in my life, sinning against you and against others in thought, word, and deed. For the sake of Jesus, who is the light of the world, forgive me all my sins, that my eyes may be opened and my heart enlightened to look to you in faith and hope. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. Through his death on the cross, Jesus Christ has shined his eternal light of forgiveness, peace, and life on you. So now, in the place and by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, as his called and ordained servant, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks be to God. And even though we would now normally share the peace with each other, today we'll just simply say, the peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. At this time, we continue with the reading of God's word for today. The first reading comes from the book of the prophet Isaiah in chapter 42, beginning verse 14. For a long time I have held my peace. I have kept still and restrained myself. Now I will cry out like a woman in labor. I will gasp and pant. I will lay waste mountains and hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will turn the rivers into islands and dry up the pools. And I will lead the blind in a way that they do not know. In paths that they have not known, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness before them into light, the rough places into level ground. These are the things I do, and I do not forsake them. They are turned back and utterly put to shame, who trust in carved idols and who say to metal images, "You are our gods." Hear, you deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger whom I send? Who is blind as my dedicated one, or blind as the servant of the Lord? He sees many things, but does not observe them. His ears are open, but he does not hear. The Lord was pleased, for his righteousness' sake, to magnify his law and make it glorious. This is the word of the Lord from the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, we read in the letter of Paul to the Ephesians in chapter 5, at one time you were darkness, now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. It is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible, for anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, that Christ may shine on you." This is the word of the Lord from the New Testament. And from the Holy Gospel of St. John in chapter 9, we read various verses beginning at verse 1. Glory to you, O Lord. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva. And then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud. And he said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been formerly born blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But the others said, "How can a man who was a sinner do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him, since he has opened your eyes?" And he said, "He is a prophet." So they answered him, "You were born in utter sin, and you would teach us?" And they cast him out. Jesus heard that he had been cast out, and having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. And then Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Now, in response to the reading of God's word, we confess together the historic Christian faith as we find it in the Nicene Creed, and we will pause and for a few moments of quiet at the pivot point of the creed as we ponder the mystery of God becoming human.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures. And he ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
And now we'll continue our service with the next song.
Lord, I'm home. grace, mercy, peace be to each of you from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, his only Son, and our only Lord and Savior. Amen. Today is going to be a little bit different. Well, okay, it's going to be a lot different in a number of ways. The church is empty, first of all. And then second of all, I don't really have a whole lot of notes. I have a couple of verses that I'd like to share with you just from the heart. Okay, and we will get to that momentarily. But let's begin. I think we have some funnies. I wasn't going to do funnies during Lent, but given the, the emotional state of the world, let's do some funnies, shall we? Do we have funnies? Okay, so there's a toilet paper garden. It's the next generation of supplies.
All right, what's the next one? Oh, the panic room is finally finished. I don't know, hopefully you guys can see that on the camera, the panic room. All right, toilet paper everywhere. What's the next? Oh, a bouquet of flowers and toilet paper. I don't know, something about this virus is connected to toilet paper. I'm not sure what exactly it is. And finally, we have, what are you wearing, Jake, from State Farm?
A hazmat suit. Okay, hopefully you all saw that. We talked, today the readings are about light and darkness, blindness and sight. And we'll get to that in just a few minutes. I kind of want to connect to last week first. If you were here, fine. If maybe you heard it on the website, and if you haven't, maybe you can still, because it should still be there. We talked last week about the situation that we find ourselves in. I don't generally do this. Talk about current events, but it's hard not to. Sort of like when Sandy was here. It's hard not to talk about Sandy when Sandy was here in the aftermath. So we talked last week about fear that is very widespread. And we talked about how the Bible says that God did not give us a spirit of fear, but rather a spirit of love and self-control and power. Power, love, and self-control, okay? And then we connected that to the New Testament reading last week, which talks about the lessons we can receive in suffering. No matter what that suffering looks like, no matter who has it, no matter what it is, God still takes that and turns it from being meaningless to being meaningful and accomplishes something good in it. And so in Romans chapter 5 last week, we saw that suffering produces perseverance. And then perseverance produces a character that is stronger, and a character that is stronger produces hope. And all of that's based upon the love that God has poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So today I kind of want to go a little bit beyond that and talk about the next phase, if you will, beyond fear, and that is worry. Fear is kind of like the what if something bad, negative happens. Worry is sort of kind of the anticipation that something bad, negative is going to happen. And then, of course, there's anxiety, which you can define as the dread of something bad or negative happening. Now, I don't know whether there's a good dictionary definitions. That's sort of kind of how I delineate them. So Jesus speaks to our worries, especially as this pandemic is spreading, and especially as there are more and more consequences and people are enduring and encountering things. So listen to Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 25. He says, and this is if you want to follow along, if you're listening and watching at home, follow along in your Bible, although hopefully it'll be on the screen. Matthew 6:25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? And who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? So Jesus gives us some profound wisdom and some profound reasons in this passage. But before we do that, Please notice that it begins with the word therefore in verse 25. Therefore. So that means something just came above it that is important. And in fact, it is. If you go to verse 19, Matthew chapter 6, 19, there Jesus says this: Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Okay? So that's what the therefore is based on. We have these kind of two options. We can either make our treasures as we go through life. We can either make our treasures on this earth, and therefore they are always insecure. Or we can make our treasures in heaven, where they are always secure. And wherever we make our treasure is where we're going to invest our heart. That's where our heart's going to go. It's either going to go to the things of this world, which can decay and get stolen or lost on the stock market, or our heart's going to go to the treasures that we are accumulating in heaven that God will grant us in eternal life. Those are the two options. And therefore, Jesus, of course, is directing us to the treasures in heaven, and therefore, verse 25, I tell you, do not worry about your life. Do not worry about the things of this world. Do not anticipate negative, bad things happening in terms of what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, or what you're going to wear. Because there's a whole lot more to life than what you're going to eat. And there's a whole lot more to life than what you're going to wear. No matter what the fashion designers are saying. And the best example we have of God from heaven providing for our needs on earth, he says in verse 26, is the birds. The birds. Look at them. They don't go to stores. They don't farm. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them and provides for them. Now look, if this is how God takes care of the birds, is he going to do a better job with you? Because aren't you more valuable than they are? Of course you are. And then verse 27 is that profound wisdom that he kind of puts the icing on the cake. And he says, who of you by worrying, by anticipating negative things, can add a single hour to his life? Well, of course, the answer is no one. But in fact, we know that by worrying, we not only not add a single hour, we detract from our life. We detract from the length of our life and from the quality of our life as we worry. There is no point to it. God has you. God has us. And from heaven, he will supply what we need on earth. That doesn't mean you shouldn't go out and work. It does mean that there is no reason to worry. Okay, verse 28 and following. So I'm just going to read that through, and then we'll just kind of work that through. And then why do you worry about clothes, he says in verse 28. Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They do not labor. They do not spin. And yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry and say, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. Your heavenly Father knows you need them. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And again, here Jesus ends with a profound word of wisdom. which we'll get to in a minute. Let's look at verse 28. So we looked at the birds and how they don't go to stores and how they don't farm. And now in 28, we're looking at the flowers, at the lilies. They don't go to work either. They don't go to stores either. And yet in verse 29, they can't compare to Solomon in all his glory. And that must have been some kind of thing, some kind of glory back in the days of Solomon and the temple and the kingdom and the palace and his wisdom and all the people that came in to see him and talk to him and inquire of him and all. That must have been something else. And yet, it's not a whole lot of anything compared to the flowers that are already out in the fields today. That's how God clothes them. That's how God provides for them. That's how God beautifies them. And yet tomorrow they'll be gone. And look how beautiful God has made them. Won't he do the same for you? Won't he do the same for you in terms of providing for you? Look at the birds. Look at the flowers. Verse 31. So do not worry. It doesn't say don't go to work. It says do not worry about those fundamental things about eating and drinking and clothing. This is what unbelievers are running after. This is what unbelievers are chasing and pursuing and worried about and fearful of and anxious about. Not you. Not us. Not the people of God. Because we are running after something else. We are pursuing something else. We're chasing after something else. In verse 33, his kingdom and his righteousness, his presence in our lives, his pronouncement of innocence, his rule in our lives, and his relationship with us. So that we know that he is always with us. We know that we are not alone. We know that we are forgiven. We know that we are blessed. We know that we are graced by him. And then from this place in this world of relationship with God, of being in the kingdom of God, then he will provide these other things. All of these things then will be given to you as well. All of those things that unbelievers are chasing after. They're all his. He will bestow them. He will grant you. He will gift you enough for the day. And then verse 34 ends with that other profound wisdom in this passage from Jesus. Do not worry about tomorrow. Because isn't that a lot of what worry is? Worry is about tomorrow. Anxiety is about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. We haven't gotten there yet. We just have today. So each day has enough trouble of its own. Isn't that true? Each day has enough trouble of its own. That's why Jesus taught us in the Lord's Prayer that we're going to pray in a few minutes, give us this day our daily bread. That's why all the anonymous groups have as one of their mantras, one day at a time. It's where it comes from. It's what it's based on. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Let's just get through today, shall we? When we get to tomorrow, God has a supply of our needs for tomorrow. And that's why in the wilderness, when he fed them with manna, there was only enough for one day. That day. And if the people gathered too much for tomorrow, God made sure that it rotted. Boy, that was a hard lesson to learn and a hard lesson to teach. But this is what frees us from worry. And this is then, now getting back to the readings for today, this is then what differentiates living a life of blindness and darkness from living a life of sight and light. It is the unbelievers who are running and chasing after these things that God already owns, that God will provide, and so their lives are lives of darkness and blindness. Not so for us. Not so for Christians. We are people of the light. We are followers of the light. And living in the light means letting go of the worry and trusting him for today, in which he will provide according to his own word and promise. Look, listen, he's already given us Jesus. He's already given us his son. He's already given us that son into death. He's already given us through that son peace and mercy and forgiveness and grace and blessing and favor. You think he's going to withhold bread? You think he's going to withhold what you need? He's already given us Jesus. He's already given us his kingdom. And in that kingdom, with Jesus, come all the things we need for life in this world today. Not tomorrow, today. And that's what it means to live in the light and to follow Jesus, the light of the world. God grant that to us for his sake and in his name. Amen. At this time, we would normally gather the tithes and offerings in our service. So instead, on this electronic online version, please watch this coming video on how